Can you all hear me back there? Okay, good. Good afternoon. My name is Bruce Johnson. I am the cadastral mapping supervisor for Sonoma County. Have been for about 5 years now. I am also a licensed surveyor. So I've seen a few legal descriptions, written a few. Not always the best ones, but not always possible. One of the things, as I was putting this together, a few weeks ago, I sent out an email to the mapping group finding out what were the most common problems that everybody ran into. And has anybody ever had or not had legal descriptions or complete pain in the tail? That's what I thought. And unfortunately, it seems like they're only getting worse. So what I figured I would do is summarize the common problems that we've run into and that you all have brought up, and talk about possible solutions, if there are any, or how you can handle them. So, with that, the most common problems that were brought up, both in my experience and what you all sent in to me, are incorrect or incomplete information in the legals, conflicting information, that's always fun, descriptions that are older than dirt, newer legal descriptions that update the old legal descriptions, and yes, updating is in quotes for a reason, and then the description just mathematically doesn't work. So these are in not necessarily order of common occurrence, they're just ones that we've run into over the years. So, and I will say, if I start rambling or if y'all have questions, please feel free to interject. I try and make this a little bit more of a free-form discussion. So I'm happy to answer questions, at least the ones I can answer. So in my experience shows us that the most common type of incorrect information or incomplete or typographics, you may occasionally hear them referred to as Scrivener's errors. That's terminology from way, way back. Numbers being transposed, that's always a fun one to have to determine. Or inadvertent omission of a number. You'll get something that will say north 30 degrees, 3 seconds. Well, you know, if they forget the minutes in there, if there were any, that's always fun. Quadrant information is also interesting, particularly when you get close to cardinal, when somebody puts in a northeast instead of a northwest or a southwest instead of a northwest. Those can be a lot of fun. And sometimes even a minute of error isn't much in a short distance, but when you start getting in distances, working sections or something like that, it can add up. So, and one of my personal favorites is missing information on section breakdowns. For example, the northwest quarter of the northwest quarter of section 17 containing 11 acres. Well, which is it? Because your average quarter of a quarter has a nominal 40 acres, as we all know. And so what got missed? Preamble is also a really fun one if they don't put it in there or it's incomplete. A lot of times it has some real valuable information. Cities, although some of the preamble information can be figured out from the legal itself, but quite often that will give you a lot of information that makes immediate identification easier. And an incomplete preamble is even worse than none at all, because if you're tasked to figure out the northwest quarter of section 5, well, if you don't have the township and range, Sonoma County is a small section, we have about 40 section 5, so if I don't know what township we're looking at, it can be interesting. source information, bearings or distances. Sometimes those don't get put in. A lot of times, these all happen when somebody's retyping an old description rather than just cutting and pasting from another document. Curve information. Curve information is really difficult sometimes. When you start running into non-tangent curves, you need something to work with for a starting bearing. Or if it's a radial bearing, you need to know whether it's to the radius point or from the radius point. And so somebody, I forget who, I apologize, brought up curves right or left versus easterly, curve northerly. Or in some cases, you'll get a curve described as concave southwesterly or something of that nature. They all mean very similar things, but there has to be enough information to be able to determine which one is which in that case. Giving an easterly, for example, thence easterly to the point of beginning. Okay, well, it's easy enough to snap a line in AutoCAD, but is it right? A lot of times with this stuff, you have to go back to older deeds. And I think that's something that we should all be at least relatively familiar with. How many people have to track back through deeds to find information? So. What's that?
You gotta find out where old Betty Farm was.
Oh, that's a whole separate issue. Now, Betty's barn might have been great in 1874, but these are all various types of typographic errors, dropping the information. Yeah, could be considered a typographic error. The fun part on these is trying to get them corrected. How many people have ever tried to get a title company to fix a legal description? How many people have successfully gotten a title company to change it on the first try? You're in the minority. Oftentimes, title companies are reticent to go through and have to actually check their own legal descriptions. It makes more sense to just copy them forward. That's unfortunate, and it really does sort of make things harder for us, but that's why we get paid the big bucks, right?
Connections.
Something else that's come up more than once is missing calls to an older deed or referencing older deeds that have described the parcel or referencing adjoining properties, particularly those with senior rights. And it's always helpful when they are identified, and I really think they should be, but sometimes they get dropped. People are trying to be brief in their legal descriptions, and they figure, they'll figure it out. Well, we might, but 5 minutes of typing might save us hours of research. Does everybody know what senior rights are and how they pertain to what we're doing? Garo, do you not know by now what senior rights are? You raised your hand, buddy. Or were you just waving hello? So, if, for example, you get a bearing and distance call to the easterly line of Jones property, I think we all know that whatever, wherever Jones property is, that's going to be the controlling point on the description. It could be 125 feet to the easterly line of Jones, but okay, then is that a typo that the 185 should have been 125, or who knows? But if we don't know that Jones is there, and you could end up theoretically creating, at least for assessment purposes, a property that we don't know who to assess, or it creates a gap that we don't know who to assess it to. Again, going back through the older deeds, quite often will provide the information that isn't brought forth. Then you have, to the 12-inch oak tree, that in a deed from 1870, even in the early 1900s, Well, hey, the 12-inch oak tree could be 36 inches by now.
Or cut down.
Or chopped down, yeah. Somebody turned it into a wall for their new log cabin. And that occurs with both natural monuments, the oak tree, or to a 2-inch iron pipe or barbed wire fence. Fences are lots of fun. Calls to fences have probably caused as many issues as they have solved over the years, if not more. Trying to solve them can be really fun. Typos can be brand new, and if you're looking at a new deed, it's a lot easier to get a title company or a surveyor to fix a deed that's recorded within the last few months as it is to track down something that happened 30 years ago. And they could be anywhere in between. They are often the easiest to find, but then again, in some cases, they are impossible to find without going back 100 years or possibly more. A newer deed isn't necessarily a better deed, but conversely, an older deed is not necessarily better. The older deeds may give you enough information to figure out where the new deed is, and I would really hope that you can go back to an older deed and find it, but trying to go back sometimes into the deeds that are recorded and stored as handwritten notes on an image file somewhere, those are difficult at best. So, anybody got any questions so far? I feel like I'm blowing through this, so if I'm going too fast or not giving you enough information, please let me know.
Who's just in the defense of surveyors? I've been one for a long time, or I've played one for years. When we get the call to a monument, I know they should be calling the entire bearing of the distance, but that for them in their world is paramount to anything else.
The monument.
They find a monument in the ground. That controls everything else. That trumps everything in their world.
For the most part, yes. And
unless it's stuck so far off.
Well, or if it's obviously disturbed or isn't matching in character to what's called out for. But by and large, yes. In a surveyor world, the original monument is king. So, that's northwest 45 degrees, 142 feet to a 2-inch iron pipe. If the 2-inch iron pipe is 143 feet, okay. One of the things, and we'll discuss it a little more later, is something to keep in mind on distances and angle and bearings is the technology that was available at the time these were determined. I mean, you'll get a legal description from 100 years ago that'll say north 32 and a quarter degrees. At the time, measuring to a quarter degree was really, really, really accurate. Now would be considered really sloppy, but you have to keep in mind when the deed was written and what was available at the time. So, anyway, anything else so far? Moving on. Conflicting information. This is often much more difficult to determine, but it is possible. I have never seen more than two calls to the same point that aren't in agreement, at least. You can have three, two of them may agree, the third one may not. But rarely do you have that many calls to the same point for ties. But, for example, as we were just talking about earlier, going back to Jones's line. So you go then send your bearing and distance to a point on the easterly line of Jones, and now they add the tie. Then said point lying 145-22 from the northeast corner of Jones's property. Well, for all intents and purposes, the 145.22 feet from the northeast corner on the line trumps both the bearing and the distance. So that would be your hold call. Does that make sense?
Say that again.
What's that?
Say that again.
Okay, if you've got a bearing and distance to a point on an easterly line of Jones's deed, and it gives you a bearing and distance from your last point, and if that point drops, let's say, 148 feet from the northwest corner, but the deed also describes said point line 145.22 feet from the northwest corner. That point line 145.22, that distance from the northwest corner is the controlling call.
Okay, I gotcha.
So that will take precedence over the bearing and distance. Does that make sense to everybody? Close enough? Another thing you will sometimes run into when you're particularly dealing with older deeds is you will get a bearing call along the easterly, along, in this case, the easterly line of Jones' property. For some reason, I was in a mood to use Jones' property when I wrote this. So. If your surveyor or your new deed has a different bearing along the easterly line of Jones, the easterly line of Jones, whatever the bearing, is what is the, you can read from this that the intent is to follow the easterly line of Jones. So, in that case, the fact that you're referencing the adjoining property as a senior parcel is what will end up controlling the bearing. As a note on bearings on lines change over time. And they can change in a week depending on what the basis of bearings of the relative surveys involved are. So that's getting into some real technical stuff, which would take me a lot longer than this presentation to really get into deeply, but as a note to keep in mind, bearings do change. Magnetic declinations change, basis of measurements change for the line. So the fact that it may have a different bearing along the same line should not be of any immediately great concern. Now, if you get down the road and the overall parcel doesn't mathematically close, well, that may cause a separate issue, but in general, the bearings will change. But the line, the easterly line of Jones, is what takes precedence. Ancient legal descriptions are always such fun. Thence, north 21 degrees, 21 and a quarter, actually it should be 21 and a quarter degrees, I apologize. But 3.25 chains to a white oak tree. At the time the deed was written, that could be have been a perfectly acceptable description. Unfortunately, 100 years later, as we spoke of earlier, the tree could be gone, it could be a different size. Any number of things could have happened. Along the same lines, thence southwest 8 poles to the corner of Jones's barn. Barns don't even last as long as trees usually, so those may be gone. That can cause lots of fun. Then you have deeds that will describe a monstrously large parcel from, let's say, 1864 is done in chains and to the nearest quarter of a degree. And then it has 27 other deed exceptions. They're all of slightly newer, but roughly the same vintage. Again, at the time, the description could have been perfectly viable and usable for what we would have been doing at the time. But it can be very time-consuming to track down and have to map out. Sometimes you'll get deeds that will, oftentimes in chains, but the older units of measure, which done, things done in chains, which are still fairly common out there. I see those on a regular basis. But then you get things like rods, 16 rods or 14 poles. Those, while not particularly difficult, you have to start thinking in terms of converting them to feet. And as long as you're doing your conversions correctly, it shouldn't be as much of an issue. But just for a handy thing here, there's your reference to the various older units of measure and what they work out to be now. Updating older legal descriptions, basically. How many of you have run into newer legal descriptions that a title company or a surveyor prepared just because they didn't like the old ones and they wanted to make it newer and better? Okay. Well, and to be honest, to be fair, there are some reasons that are absolutely valid for updating legal descriptions. And that, in most cases, I'd far rather see a newer description for something that was written in 1877 and then had a whole lot of legal descriptions or exceptions to that cut out over the years. You could have, there could have been an error or a problem in one of the older descriptions, in which case fixing it. And if you're going to fix it at that point, a lot of times it makes sense from a surveyor standpoint to go ahead and just update the whole legal description. Sometimes you'll get a property owner who requests a new legal description. That's happened, I've seen it happen for financing reasons. The property owner's, the title is being told by the title company that he needs a new legal. That happens a lot with lot line adjustments and things of that nature. Or even title companies could have just decided in the process of their work on this and researching it that they want a new legal description. As it says, it can be a good thing, but it can also cause a lot of confusion, particularly where it's a real old description and they're trying to be more precise with it. But precise isn't always the same as accurate. And this is where you can often see omissions, either inadvertent or deliberate, of information that may really be helpful in the long run to what we're doing. And title companies are, I won't say infamous, but are known for doing this, and sometimes it's excellent, sometimes it's not so much, and a lot of times it's somewhere in between. Then we get to the big discussion. Legal description that doesn't close. So the question of the day is, when is close enough really close enough? Just as for my own interest here, how many people have a set limit for how close a parcel needs to close? Dave, what's yours? What's Orange County's?
0.017.
In all situations?
No, but that's the general standard.
Okay. And you're?
0.03 feet. I'm okay, not sure how that, maybe 20 feet.
3/10. You said 0.017, Dave?
0.017.
Okay, so basically 0.02 of a foot. Anybody else? Everybody else uses a sliding scale if they worry about it at all? Okay. Well, obviously we want it to close within acceptable tolerances, and that's a big point of discussion. And this is one that I actually, still as a surveyor, I have to struggle with more often than I would like. For assessment mapping is what I really have to keep in mind. I will admit it's hard, so, at times. So, in Orange County's case, and sorry, Dave, I'm using you guys as an example in this one. And if you use a set distance value, let's use a tenth of a foot as a nice round number. A tenth of a foot in a 5,000 square foot subdivision, in my opinion, that's sloppy. I would expect it to close far closer to what Orange County uses, a couple of hundredths. That same tenth of a foot in a section is probably incredibly unrealistic, particularly since most of them were laid out using chains over, in the best of circumstances, flat ground and sometimes terrain that a mountain goat would have a problem with.
You'll get that when you get later records of survey for the whole section or...
Oh, yeah.
Or a filed map or something.
And then it starts to get into technology. You know, and then you start looking at, as we were talking about, a sliding scale or a ratio of amount of error allowable in the overall perimeter of the boundary. The hundredth per 100 feet of perimeter, I think that's probably overkill in some cases, and in some cases not close enough. Or is there some mix of all of that that works for everybody, or works in your particular counties to meet the standards that you're looking for? So, anybody want to volunteer up their ideas? I'm happy to hear them. And I'm also looking for, trying to get a better idea of what we should be looking for in our county. No brave souls?
I've just been working off the standard 1 foot per 5,000 feet.
Okay.
But I'm just really kind of nebulous myself in the sense for reading deeds. Basically, our criterion is, could it be another parcel, or is it this parcel? Or do we think they meant for it to go along the other property, or do you think they were intending to cut out a hazardous waste area in their new description? When in mapping, same thing. I think that we think that a new map, you know, should be within 200ths of a foot. But if it isn't, what are we going to do about it? Also, we'll write a letter to to that title company, that surveyor, the county surveyor, the Ardott County surveyor, you know, admitted some time ago that. That when they started losing people, they got busy, and even before that, when they were busy, they were really only checking about one out of every five maps. So they weren't checking every map. And so you could imagine the map problems that then he started getting from that. What are you going to do about it? All we can do is send a letter. You know, if we say, no, we're not going to accept this legal description, and it sits there for 4 years without a new base on it, then we're losing a ton of money. So it's sort of like, note it and move on.
Right. And in a lot of cases, for the most part, I agree with you. When you're talking about subdivision maps, I would expect those things to close. And a new subdivision map should be closing less than 100th in a lot. Rounding, most maps round to 100th, so you can lose 100th or two in that easily enough. And record of survey? Well, A, records of survey don't create property. Does anybody do anything with records of survey in terms of mapping? Do you map to a record of survey? Do you note them on a map? Do you note them on the parcel maps that they exist?
Yes.
Which is generally what Sonoma County does. If we're creating a new map from a hybrid or a hand-drawn map, we'll often use particularly the older records of survey in the area to at least get us something to work with. But something that we have to keep in mind So record of survey is one surveyor's opinion. And you could bring it, even the same surveyor could go out the next day with the same equipment and come up with a different answer. So that's one of the big reasons that I rarely rely on record of survey in and of itself without this additional documentation, and we note them on the map and we go forward. So, but when you're talking about a section that was measured with a chain in 1870, if you're within 5-10 feet, that's great. You know, it's not helpful for closing your map because you have to make an assumption as to where the error is and where to put it. But a lot of times, if there hasn't been a subsequent survey there, it may still be federal land, or you can sort of, Jim.
We kind of look at this in two different aspects. Number one aspect is how you're looking at it here. The survey is a certain amount of accuracy in and of itself. Then there's the other aspect of trying to fit this into a parcel fabric in a GIS system. So what we do in that case is, like, if we draw a new tract and it's going to sit in this part of a section, well, now you got to start figuring out how far it is from multiple different section corners. And so, in other words, if the section were to fill up with tracks, it's going to result in a certain amount of error within the section itself. And so, in that sense, we kind of use a scale of, or a tolerance of, about 1 foot for every 1,000 feet. If things fit within that section to within that tolerance, then we call it as about as good as it's going to get. As just a kind of an observation for a quality control code that we put on the lines.
Okay, yeah, that's great.
So,
unfortunately, when you start working in GIS, particularly in sections where you've had to do some rubber sheeting for old maps anyway, the accuracy is going to fall off.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, it becomes a best fit, as you say. You get it as close as you can, you hope it works. And when additional information comes in, you sort of try and fit it all together.
Yeah, but for co-going just a track, if that perimeter doesn't close to within about 0.003 feet, then we start looking at it funny.
A lot of this, and also, as we've talked about a little bit, a lot of the presentations today have talked about GIS. I mean, Sonoma County still works in AutoCAD, and then we send our maps out to our GIS, a completely separate department, for fitting it into the parcel fabric. So while our maps are as accurate as we can get them in our office, as soon as we send them to GIS, they're being rubber sheeted together. So ultimately, we're trying to work with the GIS and everybody to get the best possible map we can. And as all of our maps say, these are for assessment purposes. We're not trying to give them a survey level map. Yet, I know for a fact that we have people in our county that use assessor maps as survey grade maps. I'm sure pretty much everybody else has had similar experiences to one degree or another. I still occasionally get calls from people who will look at Parcel Quest and say, well, this, my property line goes through my house. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's probably, I really doubt it does. So, Parcel Quest is an amazingly good product. But it's not survey grade and should never be viewed as such. And I think Parcel Quest would agree with us on that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and again, we're still, as I said earlier, we're still keeping in mind the measurement standards in place at the time the deed was created. So that's always an interesting thing to follow along. Addressing legal description issues. First thing, and this is something we do in our office, if something doesn't work, double check it. COGO is a really powerful tool if you put the right information in it. It's really easy to, and I do it on a semi-regular basis, to get in a hurry and start 10 key flying through something and go dyslexic all of a sudden and something misses by anywhere from a couple of tenths to a couple hundred feet. So fortunately, the ones that close on close by a couple hundred feet, they're easy to find. It's the ones that are real or close but not close enough. So something else that you can do is have a coworker look at it, double check it. I've had multiple times where I will have something that is, I think, is perfect, and I'll give it to somebody else, and in about 3 seconds, they figure out what I did wrong. It's sometimes hard to see the forest for the trees when you're looking at your own work. Reviewing prior deeds is probably the most, or probably the best way to find missing information. It's just a question of how far back do you have to go. I've seen bad legal descriptions that had been brought forth for 50, 60, 70 years, which you have to track back to find out what they did, and find out it could be something as simple as a North 8959 West versus something, somebody typed it in as North 8959 East.
Yeah, we always find those in our tax sale lists for the tax collector.
Let's not talk about tax sale lists. I hate those with a passion. So, the other bonus to looking at prior deeds is they can give you additional sources of information that you might not be in the current deed, whether it be adjoining deeds or even something different. References to old track maps that get dropped off or any number of things. Something that I found really helpful is if you have to go that far, review the deeds for the adjoining parcels. Sometimes it can, again, give you information that isn't in the current one, but will provide a lot of additional information, clarify the intent. Sometimes you have to kind of guess at what the intent was, and sometimes it's real obvious. I don't like guessing at intent because we're trying to read somebody else's mind. Then we get into the fun part. If the document's recently recorded, trying to get it corrected. Title companies aren't always willing to re-record something, particularly if it's going to cost them a bunch of money to get it fixed. Surveyors and civil engineers, I find most of them are willing to fix, if you figure it out and can point it out to them and show it to them, most of them are relatively willing to correct their own mistakes. You'll always get a few that, it's not wrong. Okay. Now, realistically, we have nothing other than, as Dwayne said, maybe a sternly worded letter, and hope it works, but there's nothing we can really do to get them to fix it. So, you may or may not ever see an actual correction, but at least you've tried and made the originators of the document aware that there is an issue, whether anything happens with it or not.
I have a question, it's sort of a general question or comment. It's like, we've just started putting more notes on the parcel map itself. Like, if we think if there's a real problem with the legal description, and we're really sure, we're starting to put notes on the face of the parcel map. I know, and that can sound, I'm sure that sounds scary to a lot of people.
Yeah.
It's sort of like the new concept of putting it on YouTube, and it can be very effective.
But,
It's actually perfectly reasonable and has precedence in the AH 215.
That I did.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm quite that brave. we make notes on our the documents that we file. We keep notes in our system to where, so if we have to go back and look at it again, we can see that, this was a problem back 3 years ago. Well, it hasn't been fixed yet. Or in some cases, they finally decided to fix it. So, I don't know. That's an interesting concept, and I'd have to think about that a lot more before I came up with an opinion one way or the other. Anybody else got anything?
Well, if there is a conflict between two descriptions or parcels, and there's a clear conflict, I think it's perfectly reasonable to make a note on the map itself, the assessor map, that calls attention to the conflict.
In theory, I think you're right. I think a lot of it would, at least for me, it would depend on how it was worded, what you'd actually come out and say. And giving the public some sort of notice that there is an issue.
Unfortunately, it still requires that we come to our own conclusion and display it as such.
Yeah.
But if you're wrong.
Sometimes, then what did somebody say earlier? I'll be the first to listen to Emilio. I'll be the first to hear out somebody that presents some kind of information or evidence to me that points one way or the other.
Right, and I would like to think that if in a situation like that, you could get the title company involved and make them aware of it, and particularly in cases of a possible overlap, mm-hmm. that they might be willing to look at and kind of, and be, if they're going to insure it, you'd think they'd want to have it right, but that's assuming it's a new document. If it's something that's 50 years old, that's all a separate issue.
But if that map is available to the public and you're wrong and it stops its sale, you'd be opening the county up to all kinds of lawsuits.
That's my initial thought on that, and where I would be most less than willing to do something like that on the map. I'd have to be quite sure beyond a shadow of a doubt that what I'm saying is right. And at that point, I think it's the level of research.
And then send it to county council.
Yes. Yes, well, I think at that point I would probably put it aside as a problem file and then research it when time permitted. But even that depends on the circumstances. Yeah, that's an ugly, it could be a really ugly situation no matter how you do go on that.
Mm-hmm.
So, additional resources, these are books on, particularly the first two are what I would recommend if you had some questions on how to interpret a legal description. Brown's two books are generally considered the textbooks on interpreting legal descriptions and boundary issues. They're up to 7th or 6th edition. Just to date myself, when I started doing this, they were back in 3rd edition. So, and then Waddell's Legal Descriptions is basically the Bible for writing legal descriptions. So it's more geared towards somebody preparing and writing a legal description, but it does have some valuable insights into the legal description process that you may or may not find valuable. And then Advanced Legal Descriptions, that's a book that's often used now in the surveying community for a textbook, but it's more on the preparation of legal descriptions. So, any questions? Okay, well, I need to go grab something that I forgot to bring up with me, so excuse me for a moment. Justin is an example. In the second handout, the part of the handout has a legal description that was recently recorded. And this is one that came up from one of our appraisers asking for an area analysis, because there were our megabyte had two different areas in there and they wanted to know which one was right. So as I started tracking this legal description, I just started drawing it out in AutoCAD to figure it out. And this is a recently recorded document. So recently recorded a couple months ago. And it mirrors a document from 1991. So as we start tracking the information in the first legal through, we come off our point of commencement on varying distance to the point of beginning. And then we have, from that point, then south 3904 east 195 feet to a found 3/4 inch iron pipe. Okay, that makes sense. Then from there, it says from which a found 1/2 inch iron pipe marking the southwest corner of XYZ is farther down the line. Thence, from the 195 foot line, 8948 east, 59567, which we then track through. Thence, leaving said road, north 85 east, 218.44, to a set iron pipe, which in this point, hopefully, if this were a current deed on it, should have a record of survey with it, but this is a copied forward deed, so there was no record of survey on this, which leads me to believe it was probably a really old deed to start with. Thence it goes, where are we here?
Four lines from the bottom.
Yeah, thank you. Thence north 141 west 155.04 to another set inch iron pipe, 1 inch iron pipe. Thence 8609 southwest 33671 to the point of beginning. And that's where we run into the problem. As you can see, this is a prime example of a deed that doesn't close. So, in this case, first thing I went and looked at, and your order of doing this may vary, this is just as an example of the way I would look at something and as a way to do it for you if you choose to do it. So what I did then is I snapped a line from the last call to the actual point of beginning. So that's, if that was the intent, that should be a call. Now, in theory, you could say that this follows the legal description, because from the last point to the point of beginning should be a controlling call. In this case, it's a pretty significant difference. So that led me to believe that there was a problem somewhere in this legal. So, did I go too far? So at that point, first thing I did was I snapped a line from the last point to the point of beginning. And lo and behold, it's a very similar bearing and distance to the line below it. In fact, one could go so far as to say it's identical for all intents and purposes. So, and then closing from there, just as a comparison also from what they call a point of beginning to the other end where it would look like it would close, that also matches, this line matches that one. So then it became a case of having to figure out where the current legal went wrong. And this was, the deed referenced on B, the second page, this looks to be the one that it was copied, this was copied forward from, and appears to be the same. So going back to the C document, when you get to the point where it says, from which a half-inch iron pipe marking the southwest corner, et cetera, it has an open parenthesis there. And as it turns out, in the original deed that cut this piece out of the larger property, the 595.67 line is actually an additional tie line within the parentheses before it begins to follow the courses around.
Oh.
So in this particular case, a simple lack of one of a closing parentheses changes the whole description. So moral of the story, it's real easy to typo something and not even know it. And then when you look at the closure on the original deed from 1962, it closes within 3/1000ths of a foot, which is good in any book. So, any questions or anything else anybody wants to bring up on legal descriptions? I'm more than happy to answer questions. My email is in the front of the presentation that you all have copies of. I also have business cards. If you have questions later, feel free to shoot me an email and I will be happy to do my best to answer it for you. So.
What's your PLS?
2002.
And were you working, for surveyors?
I was working in the Orange County Surveyor's Office when I got licensed. Then I moved up to Sonoma and got in with the Assessor's Office here. It's a great group of people and I love it.
A little addition. We're talking about old legal descriptions. One of my all-time favorite in the 40 years I've been doing this was thence northwesterly approximately 300 feet to a rock and a patch of clover.
You know, that was probably very, very accurate the day it was written.
Yeah.
A month later, probably not so much.
When the gals returned out, it wasn't even the next day.
Okay, well, thank you very much.